Hi, Rebecca Shear here, inviting you to join the Circle Round Club. You can get ad-free episodes, bonus bedtime stories, and first dibs on tickets to Circle Round events, plus exclusive access to our club store, where you can get special extras, like a personalized birthday message from me. Join today at wbur.org/CircleRoundClub.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
The Circle Round episode you're about to hear is a very special one, and we're so excited to share it with you. We recorded this episode in front of a live audience of kids and grown-ups at the Cowell Theater in San Francisco, California, on February 24th, 2024. Want to be the first to hear about live Circle Round events? Join the Circle Round Club, and you'll get early, exclusive access to tickets. Find out more at wbur.org/CircleRoundClub. And now, on with the story. Do you know the difference between a fact and an opinion? A fact is a statement that is real or true. An opinion is something someone thinks or believes. In today's story, one of our characters is convinced that his opinion, his belief, is a fact, and you'll never believe what happens as a result. I'm Rebecca Shear, and welcome to Circle Round, live at the Cowell Theater in San Francisco, California. Today, our story is called The Uncommon Commoner. You'll find versions of this story from many places, including Israel, Yemen, Poland, Hungary, Turkey, and Russia. Joining me on stage is a trio of talented actors, Theodore Chin, Nathaniel Eaton, and Jessica Rao. And providing musical accompaniment is the one and only Eric Shimalonis. So, circle around, everyone, for The Uncommon Commoner. Once upon a time, in a faraway kingdom, a new queen came to power. The new queen had a kind heart, an honest soul, and a quick mind keen on solving problems and unraveling riddles. When the new queen took over, she inherited more than just the throne. She inherited a golden crown glistening with gemstones. She inherited a busy schedule packed with balls and banquets. She also inherited a chief advisor, a fellow by the name of Vidor, who had been working in the palace for years and years.
Welcome to the palace, Your Majesty. Tell me, what is the first thing you would like to do as the new queen? Get fitted for a lovely gown, perhaps? Choose the menu for your first banquet? Order flowers for the palace garden.
Actually, Vidor, I was hoping I could get to know my people.
Come again?
Get to know my people, my royal subjects. I am determined to be the best leader the people of this land have ever seen. Therefore, I would like to take a carriage ride across the kingdom so I can meet them. What do you think?
What do I think?
From the look on Vidor's face, you'd think he just caught a whiff of rotting garbage.
Your Majesty, with all due respect, I am your chief advisor. I will help you be the best leader the people have ever seen. There's no need to waste your precious time gallivanting about the kingdom and conversing with commoners.
Commoners?
The queen furrowed her brow.
I've never liked that word, commoners. Calling someone a commoner implies that they're common, ordinary, run-of-the-mill. But if you actually met one of these so-called commoners, Vidor, I bet you'd see they're not so common at all. So grab your coat and meet me in the carriage. We leave at once.
The warm summer sun sparkled in a cloudless blue sky as the queen stepped into the royal carriage, with Vidor following grudgingly behind. The carriage took off, and they soon reached the wide, rolling countryside. The hills and plains seemed to stretch on forever, and the queen and Vidor traveled for miles without spying a single living soul. Then, at last, the queen pointed a bejeweled finger out the carriage window.
Oh, look! Over there! A tiny thatched roof hut with one of my royal subjects sitting outside. Let's ride over and say hello.
Vidor clenched his jaw. This was the moment he'd been dreading. Their first encounter with a commoner. But he gritted his teeth and kept his mouth shut as the carriage approached the hut. The royal subject, the queen had spotted, was an old man. A very old man. With a weathered face as wrinkled as parchment, and scraggly hair as white as chalk. He was swaying back and forth in a creaky rocking chair with a rough wooden cane in his lap.
Hello, sir! Hello!
At the sound of the queen's voice, the old man clasped his gnarled fingers around the handle of his cane, staggered to his unsteady feet, and bowed.
Hello, your majesty. It's a pleasure seeing you out here in the country.
Likewise, my dear fellow. How are you?
Much better on the inside than I look on the outside. And you?
I can't complain, though sometimes I still do.
Well, I can't complain either. After all, I live in the middle of nowhere, and there's nobody around to listen.
As the queen and the old man shared a hearty chuckle, Vidor heaved a great sigh. He was hoping the conversation would end then and there. But his hopes were dashed when the queen hopped out of the carriage and shook the old man's hand.
My good sir, it is clear you enjoy a good turn of wits, as do I. So I wonder if you could please tell me, how long has the snow been on the mountain?
Vidor blinked his eyes. Snow on the mountain? It was summertime. What was the queen talking about? The old man, however, didn't seem perplexed in the least.
That's a mighty fine question, your majesty. The snow has been on the mountain for as long as I could remember. Though at my age, I don't remember much.
And are you getting along now with two or three?
On a good day, two. Most others, three.
And how far is far?
Oh, dear me. It's definitely not as far as it used to be. Not by a long shot!
As the queen and the old man shared another laugh, Vidor felt terribly left out and terribly put out.
Your majesty, I'm sorry to break up this party. But if you truly wish to ride across the entire kingdom, I'd advise that you wrap up your little chit-chat with this commoner.
The disdain in Vidor's eyes chilled the queen to the bone and enraged her to the core. She took a breath, then laid a hand on her new friend's bony shoulder.
Dear fellow, as you can see, my chief advisor is impatient for us to move on. But before I take my leave, if I may pose just one more question. Were I to send you a rooster, Would you be able to pluck it?
The old man's wrinkled face crinkled into a grin.
You know what, Your Highness? I would most certainly be able to pluck a rooster. Feel free to send it my way anytime.
I shall. And I dare say it will be soon. Farewell, my friend.
As the carriage pulled away, the queen was bubbling with pleasure.
Well, Vidor, that fellow was definitely an uncommon commoner, if ever there was one. Don't you agree?
An uncommon commoner?
Vidor sniffed.
More like a half-witted commoner. That batty old white hair was spouting nonsense.
If that's what you truly believe, Vidor, then our conversation must have been beyond you. It's obvious you didn't understand a word.
The truth is, the queen was right. But the proud, arrogant advisor wasn't about to admit his ignorance.
Oh, come now, Your Excellency. Do you hold such a low opinion of me? Do you believe I wouldn't understand a simple exchange of words with a peasant? If my mind is so feeble, then why am I your chief advisor?
The queen's answer was quick and cold.
You are my chief advisor, Vidor, because I have found no one to replace you. Yet. But since you believe yourself superior to the old man, in fact, since you believe yourself superior to all my royal subjects, then please, explain everything you heard just now.
Vidor's face dropped. He tried forcing it into a smile.
You know, Your Highness, I might as well come clean. The truth is, I was rather distracted during your little talk. As your chief advisor, I am such a busy, important man, and my mind is constantly obsessing about work, work, work. But if I had time to think it over, I could easily explain the meaning of your conversation.
Good. You have 1 week.
1 week?
Yes. Today is Sunday, so next Sunday by nightfall, you must come to me with an explanation.
Vidor's stomach clenched.
And what if, for some totally crazy reason, I am unable to give you an explanation by next Sunday? What might happen then?
Oh, that's easy. I shall relieve you of your position as chief advisor and find someone new. Someone who's far more suited to the job. And then we'll see who the common one truly is.
What do you think will happen next? And can you think what the exchange between the old man and the queen might have meant? All will be revealed after a quick break.
Support for the Circle Round podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/circle round. That's Indeed.com/circle round. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm Rebecca Shear. Welcome back to Circle Round, live at the Cowell Theater in San Francisco, California. Today, our story is called The Uncommon Commoner. Before the break, on a warm and sunny Sunday morning, the queen had a rather unconventional exchange with a white-haired old man in the countryside. First, the queen asked the aged fellow,
How long has the snow been on the mountain?
The snow has been on the mountain for as long as I can remember.
Then she inquired.
Are you getting along now with two or three?
On a good day, two. Most others, three.
After that, she wanted to know,
how far is far?
Oh, dear me. It's definitely not as far as it used to be.
And as for her last question,
were I to send you a rooster, would you be able to pluck it?
Oh, I would most certainly be able to pluck a rooster. Feel free to send it my way anytime.
The queen's chief advisor was a haughty fellow by the name of Vidor. Vidor had witnessed the entire exchange and didn't understand a word. The queen resented Vidor's snobbishness and was eager to oust him from his post. So she ordered the snooty advisor to explain the conversation by next Sunday or lose his job. The proud, stubborn fellow was determined to find a solution. He pondered all day Monday.
Snow on the mountain.
Pondered all day Tuesday.
Getting along with two or three.
He pondered all day Wednesday.
How far is far?
And he pondered all day Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Plucking a rooster? Why on earth would you want to pluck a rooster?
By Sunday morning, Vidor was still pondering and panicking, with his deadline breathing down his neck and his illustrious job on the line. He knew there was only one thing he could do.
Much as it pains me, I must visit the old man. I'll go back to that batty geezer and he'll explain everything.
Vidor grabbed a notebook, saddled up a horse, and galloped across the countryside to the old man's hut.
Ooh, well, look who it is! The queen's chief advisor, the big cheese, the head honcho, the top dog, the high muckety muck, the big...
Right, that's me. The queen's chief advisor. And as the queen's chief advisor, I order you to explain something. Do you recall the conversation you had with the queen last week?
As clearly as if it were yesterday, which is saying a lot, given my memory these days. So many things slip my mind, you'd think there was a banana peel in my brain.
Vidor rolled his eyes.
Look, sir, if you remember your conversation with the queen, then I need you to tell me what was going on with all those questions and answers. Like the first one, something about snow on the mountain.
The old man's eyes twinkled.
Oh, yes, I could easily explain what that meant. If you give me 100 silver pieces.
I beg your pardon?
I thought you were begging for an explanation, not a pardon. I said I'll explain. If you give me 100 silver pieces.
Vidor scrawled some words in his notebook.
Okay, fine. Since I don't have any money with me, I am writing a promissory note. A document which promises that I shall pay you 100 silver pieces. Here you go.
Vidor tore the note from his book and handed it over. The old man carefully folded it and placed it in his pocket.
All right, so when the queen asked me how long has the snow been on the mountain, she was talking about the snowy white hair on my head. And I'm so up there in years that the snow has been on the mountain for as long as I could remember.
Vidor jotted the man's words in his notebook.
Yeah, snow on the mountain, hair on head. Right. And the next question, are you getting along now with two or three?
For that additional information, I shall require 100 more silver pieces.
Vidor sighed. Then scribbled a second promissory note and handed it over.
Thank you. When the queen asked about getting along with two or three, she was referring to how I move around. On a good day, I could shuffle about with my own two legs. But on other days, I'm so stiff and sore, I need my cane to help me out. So it's more like three, my two legs plus the cane.
Vidor put pen back to paper.
And two or three legs, stiff, sore, cane, etc. Got it. And how about the next question? The queen asked you, how far is far? And you said, it's definitely not as far as it used to be. What was going on there?
I'd be happy to tell you. For another 100 silver pieces.
Vidor sighed again. Then scrawled out a third promissory note and handed it over.
Oh, thank you. When the queen asked how far is far, and I said, it's definitely not as far as it used to be, she was inquiring about these old peepers of mine, my eyes, and how far I could see with them. In my youth, I had the eyes of a hawk, clear and sharp and precise. These days, my vision is so bad, I'm lucky if I can see beyond my rocking chair.
Vidor turned back to his notebook.
Far, eyesight, vision, bad. Okay, so now all that's left is the part that puzzled me most. When the queen asked about sending you a rooster, and would you be able to pluck it? You said you certainly would, and that she should send it your way anytime. Why in the world would the queen send you a rooster to pluck?
Well, if you really want to know the answer to that question, how about another 100 silver coins?
Vidor sighed yet again. Then dashed off a fourth promissory note and handed it over.
Thank you. But to be perfectly honest with you, you should know what this one means. You just saw it happen.
I did?
You did! I plucked the rooster the queen sent me just now!
So, where are the feathers?
The feathers?
The old man smiled.
They're right here!
He reached a hand into his pocket and pulled out Vidor's four promissory notes.
You see, my friend, you are the rooster! The proud, strutting, cocky rooster! And I just plucked! Let me count again. Oh, 100, 200, 300, 400 silver coins from you! Cock-a-doodle-doo!
Vidor froze. He opened his mouth, then closed it again, too stunned and too humbled to utter a word. Well, I'll bet you can guess what happened after that. When the queen caught wind of what happened, she swiftly relieved Vidor of his position as chief advisor and promptly handed the job over to her new friend, the old man. And though his hair was white and his legs were stiff and his eyes weren't what they used to be, his tremendous wit and wisdom made him the best advisor the palace had ever seen, and there was nothing common about that. Now it's your turn.
Riddles can be a super fun way to stretch and challenge our minds, and we'd love to hear your riddles. If you have a favorite riddle, one you heard or read somewhere, or you made up yourself, we invite you to send it our way. Ask a grown-up to help you write it down, then email it to us at circleround@wbur.org. We may feature it in a future edition of The Lion's Roar, the monthly newsletter for members of the Circle Round Club. This week's story, The Uncommon Commoner, was adapted by me, Rebecca Shear. It was edited by Sophie Codner. Eric Shimalonis composed our original music and played it live on the harpsichord. You can learn more about this keyboard instrument in which the strings are plucked rather than hit with a hammer and see a photo of Eric playing one on our website, wbur.org/circleround. Circle Round's artist is Sabina Hahn. Want to color while you listen? Sabina has created a black and white coloring page for all of our Circle Round stories, and you can print them out. Grown-ups, visit our website, wbur.org/circleround, and click on Coloring Pages. Special thanks to the actors in this week's story, Theodore Chin, Nathaniel Eaton, and Jessica Rao. And a big Circle Round of applause for the staff at the Cowell Theater, to WBUR's Andrea O'Meara and Tina Safford, and to Spencer Reynolds, who provided the harpsichord you heard in this episode. Looking for even more ways to circle around with us? You can support your favorite public radio podcast and get some really cool stuff as a member of the Circle Round Club. Visit our website, wbur.org/circleround, and click Circle Round Club. Love Circle Round and never want to miss an episode? Follow us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now. And grown-ups, if you have a moment, please write us a 5-star review and talk about us on social media. Our handle on Instagram and Facebook is at Circle Round Podcast. Circle Round is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Rebecca Shear. Thanks for circling round with us. Now that you've made it to the end of this Circle Round episode, we want to know, what's your favorite Circle Round story? Thousands of fans just like you have been telling us about the Circle Round stories they like best. Take a listen. Maybe one of their favorites is one of yours, too.
Hi, my name is Rose. I live in Accra, Ghana, and my favorite Circle Round story is The Golden Advice, and I like the part where Scout says, you cookie bird, Brock.
My name is Lawrence. I live in Chicago, Illinois. My favorite story is The Three-Legged Pot. I like the part when the three-legged pot drops Felix onto the North Pole.
My name's Jasper. My favorite Circle Round story is A Taste of Honey. I like it because the robbers think the gold is real gold, but it's actually honey.
My name is Jordan. I live in New Jersey. My favorite Circle Round episode is all of them. My favorite part is when I get to listen to Circle Round episodes.
My name is Jesse. I live in New Jersey. My favorite Circle Round story is The Lion's Whistle. My favorite part is where the brother and sister see the lion.
I'm Charlie, and I'm from Maryland. My favorite episode is The Horse of a Different Color. I like the part when she shoots the apple into the governor's ear.
My name is Althea, and I'm from Durham, North Carolina, and my favorite Circle Round story is The Forest Folk, and my favorite part is when she figures out all the spruce cones turned silver.
Hi, my name is Morgan. I'm from Lowell, Massachusetts, and my favorite Circle Round is The Banana Split. And my favorite part is when the monkey runs to the top of the hill and the turtle tries to catch up.
Did someone mention a story you've missed? Not to worry. Grown-ups, you can find all of our Circle Round stories, plus links to the Circle Round Club, picture books, coloring pages, and oh so much more on our website, wbur.org/circleround.